So I'm going to read from Mark chapter 16. Our Bible study will be on Mark 16, verses 9 through 20, whether they are the very word of God or not. Okay. So Mark 16 says this. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. So at this point, verse 8 is where modern translations say that Mark 16 ends. Okay? Now I'm going to read verses 9 through 20. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed them them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That's far the reading of God's word. So the verses under consideration today are verses 9 through 20. These verses have been debated by scholars for a very long time. Okay, Christian theologians have spoken about these verses since the early church. And given the controversy arising from some parts of the church centuries ago. So today what I hope to demonstrate to you is that these verses are indeed the very word of God. And that holding to them is part of our confessional testimony as the Confession of Faith, the Larger Catechism, and the RP Testimony all quote from Mark 16, verses 9 through 20. They quote from these various verses. Today we will only look at the manuscript evidence that supposedly proves they are not God's very word. Well, all you guys are eating right now, but if you have a New American Standard Bible, if you were to look at the footnotes in verse 9, it says this, quote, some of the oldest, and they use this abbreviation, MSS. MSS, if you don't know what that means manuscripts. Some of the oldest manuscripts do not contain verses 9 through 20. Okay? So that's what the New American Standard Version says at Mark 16, verse 9. The hard copy NIV Study Bible says this, quote, the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 9 through 20, end quote. The study note goes on to read to say this, quote, serious doubt exists as to whether these verses belong to the Gospel of Mark. They are absent from important early manuscripts and display certain peculiarities of vocabulary, style, and theological content that are unlike the rest of Mark. His gospel probably ended at verse 8, or its original ending has been lost. Okay, so NIV says probably is God's word. All right, or the original ending is lost. Okay, so NIV says that. So if you're a new believer, you read that in your study note, that can open up a whole lot of questions as to the reliability of the scriptures. The ESV study Bible has this note, quote, right on the top is, well, the study Bible I have. Right on the top, right after verse 8 and right before verse 9, it says this, quote, some of the earliest manuscripts do not include 16, 9 through 20, end quote. But then in the study notes section, it reads this, in part, I'm not going to quote the whole thing because it's like a paragraph or two paragraphs, says this, quote, some ancient manuscripts of Mark's gospel contain these verses and others do not, which presents a puzzle for scholars who specialize in the history of such manuscripts. This longer ending is missing from various old and reliable Greek manuscripts, especially Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, as well as numerous early Latin, Syriac, Armenian, and Gregorian manuscripts, end quote. Okay, so it's saying, hey, they admit that some manuscripts have them and some don't.
Andrew, real quick.
Yes.
Colin saying he has no audio.
No audio. Okay, can you hear me? Test, can you hear me? You don't know.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm using my phone, so I didn't know that the presets were all muted. So the ESV admit that there are manuscripts that contain it and some that don't. But they also say that numerous Latin, Syriac, Armenian, and Georgian manuscripts don't contain it. Then it states, quote, in summary, verses 9 through 20 should be read with caution, end quote. And it goes on. You can read it if you have it. So ESV says, you know, 9 through 20 to be read with caution. Right. Now, why do you think they will say that it should be read with caution, 9 through 20? Just want your opinion. What do you think? I just read 9 through 20. So what do you think would cause them to say to read 9 through 20 with caution?
To be careful using as proof texts.
For?
For doctrine.
Okay. All right. Anything else? More specific? All right, you go into where I'm thinking. There are people that, there are churches that use this as a proof text to actually handle snakes and drink poison in worship. So yeah, I would say the same thing. I would tell you, yeah, don't go around in the desert looking for rattlesnakes to try to prove these verses. That would be tempting God. Remember what Satan said to Jesus, right? And the Lord said, you should not tempt the Lord thy God. Yes.
So is that like before, after, or related to like when Paul shipwrecks on an island and he gets bit by a venomous snake and like doesn't die? Is it, I mean, I don't know if we know like when, which parts of scripture were actually the original autographs. Like, is that related to kind of like that?
So we don't, that's the thing with the Gospels. We don't know exactly when they were written. So it could have been written after that incident with Paul, or it could have been written before. The thing is, you know, there's a lot of theories out there.
Not that it discounts it in any way. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, like, mm-hmm. that's like one of the only.
Right.
That's like the only connection I can think of.
That is.
Talking about handling venomous snakes, like Paul gets bit by a venomous snake, and like that's part of his witness to those people. He's like, oh, you're toast. And then he's like, yeah. Nah, here's the gospel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's other, that's probably how the message would say it. I'm paraphrasing.
Right. So, brethren, all of the Bible study classes I have given up to this point, treating the New Testament manuscripts, are now going to come into more of a practical application. So, all the studies we've been doing about looking at the manuscripts, looking at the differences, and all of that, I'm going to apply it to the text of Scripture and see how it all hopefully will come full circle for you. So I will be drawing on the past classes. So if you don't remember, just ask me and I'll try to remind you of whatever it is that is not making a connection for you. So what I'm going to show you today is that these three Bible study notes from the New American Standard, the NIV, and the ESV are all wrong. Okay, they're wrong. And I'm going to show you that verses 9 through 20 are the Word of God, and that we should treat it as the very Word of God. Now, if you remember your the past classes that we have done already, about especially about manuscripts, this appeal to that ESV makes to very, quote, various old and reliable Greek manuscripts, especially Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, end quote, should by now, you should know that they're not reliable, right? I've demonstrated that already. Sinaiticus and Vaticanus are not reliable Greek manuscripts. And the ESV says there are various old and reliable Greek manuscripts. By now, you should know that there isn't various reliable Greek manuscripts, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. I'll get to that. So, and then, you know how they talk about ancient manuscripts, early manuscripts, and then the various old reliable manuscripts. I want to show you just how much we have of these manuscripts. So, have someone pass these out. You might have to share. I don't know if I have enough. So I'll give you guys a minute to get a copy. Just pass them around. So the handout you have, you see there's four columns. There's four columns to them. The first one is all papyri numbers, and then it tells you what they contain. And then you have the uncials, and then the text in the uncials. So remember we talked about papyrus. Papyri manuscripts don't last long. They tend to crumble. Most of what we have are fragments. Excuse me. Papyri 45, the only parts of Mark that exist in papyrus number 45 are those verses that you see there. Chapter 4, verse 36 through 40. Chapter 5, verses 15 to 26, etc. And then papyrus number 84 contains only those verses in Mark. Mark 2, 2 to 5, verse 8 to 9, etc. And then papyrus number 88 contains only chapter 2, verses 1 through 26. And that's it. These are all the papyrus that exist out of 145 that we know of that have anything to do with the Gospel of Mark. And the only things they have are these verses, okay? So we cannot go to the papyrus evidence that we have today to settle the question whether Mark 16, 9 through 20 is the Word of God. And everyone agrees with this. This is nothing controversial. All right, so the next set of witnesses that we have are the uncials. Remember, you know, we talked about the uncials, and I will never forget Colin telling me to flip the I around so that it doesn't say unicos, right? So uncials. So the uncials are if you remembered older codices that are all written in caps. The Greek is all in caps. And they're all run-on sentences. All the words are squished together. There are no spaces. And it's just boom, boom. And it's just continuous. So those are the oldest codices we have. And we have, at the moment, and we have 324 uncials at the moment. Okay? And they are all mixed Byzantine Alexandrian. And we talked about why we're not using Byzantine Alexandria, or the scholars are not using those distinctions anymore, because they've figured out this doesn't work. But notice as you look at the uncials. Uncial 0212 or 212. They're dating in around the 3rd century, but that's the manuscript. It's dated to the 3rd century, the manuscript copy we have. That's called the Diadeseron, and the Diadeseron is not a copy of the Gospels. It's and I'll get to that in a moment. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Then the next one, and that includes all of Mark. The entire Gospel of Mark, 1 through chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to 16, verse 20. Now, in the world of scholars and the academy, the uncials are the most reliable. And recall, they define reliability as those manuscripts which are the oldest manuscripts. See, I got ahead of myself. So I'm giving you 7 samples of uncials here in this chart. And the next one down on the list is Sinaiticus, 4th century. Vaticanus, 4th century. Alexandrinus, 5th century. Ephraim Rescriptus, 5th century. Beza, 5th century. And Tiffendorfianus, the 4th, 10th century. Okay, some of these are named after other people way after. Question. When the notes that I read said some manuscripts, how many are those some, do you think? When they say some manuscripts do not contain verses 9 through 20.
And in the way that might it sound, you think it's like, I don't know, me, if you're going to say some, I'm thinking like minimum 60-40, maybe 70-30. You know, if you're going to say some don't have it, like I'm thinking more than half, if you're going to make a point of it. Mm-hmm. Like that's the context that I've always like thought of it in my head, is like they're thinking like, you know.
Right.
Like, you know, the majority, you know, a passing grade's worth 70% or so. That's
okay.
What I always
think. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? 5? Okay. So we got
3 or more,
okay, good. All right, anyone else? Okay.
25,
all right. So here's the sum of the manuscripts that don't contain, which are early manuscripts. Remember, these notes say early manuscripts, some manuscripts, the oldest, most ancient manuscripts. Well, if you look in your chart carefully, here's a whopping big number of manuscripts that do not contain Mark 16, 9 to 20. 2. That's it. It's more than one. More than one. It's just 2. Look at your chart. Sinaiticus and Vaticanus do not contain it. They don't contain, neither do they contain the other verses you see in that last column.
Wait, so
Alexandrinus does contain it.
Boy, that kind of sinks your ship, doesn't it? Like, if you're codices, all
your main codices that make up the critical text,
one does,
but the other two don't. Yeah. So, remember, I'm talking about only manuscripts right now, the Greek manuscripts. That's all I'm talking about right now, because there's another side of this, and we'll get to this next week. I'm not going to have time to do it today. All right, but just 2. That's it. That's it. And apologists, Christian apologists that debate these, you know, go around debating and all that stuff, they all recognize that. It's just two. But look at how misleading these study notes are. The study notes say some ancient manuscripts, the oldest, earliest manuscripts don't contain it. Well, it's just two. So Sean earlier said, don't, you know, the caution is don't build a doctrine off of, you know, these verses. Well, you're going to build a whole doctrine off of just two manuscripts that don't contain these verses? And question the word of God just because two manuscripts don't contain them? And remember what we said about early old manuscripts in the past? Yes, Andy?
No, I just thought I had a question. Well, I'm just looking at your third column over, and like San Atticus and Vaticanus also don't have a matched set of verses.
Mm-hmm. They're exactly so alike.
Should we, if we're eliminating 16 to 9 to 20, based on those two, shouldn't we also eliminate?
So if you look,
16,
so if you're look, you know, yeah, if you look in the modern, yeah, if you look in the English, in the modern English Bibles, all these verses have footnotes.
They all do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
yep.
That just happens to be like 9 to 20 happens to be the biggest chunk of verses, so it gets its own big edit.
Yeah, yeah, because some of these other verses are found in other early manuscripts. So, yes.
I just want to make sure I understand. You're saying so if there's two that's missing out of all the unseals?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Of all
the...
Not
like the... Because papyrus didn't have the...
Right.
Just of these...
Of the unseals, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And now there's 324 unseals, right? But not all the unseals have all the gospels or they're not complete, things like that. So I'm giving you samples of unseals that do have Mark... the gospel of Mark in them. But not all the unseals have, because what happened, and everyone, all the scholars know this on every side of the debate, the New Testament was distributed, or I'm losing my train of thought. The different parts of the New Testament were bundled together and sent in different parts. So, like, the Gospels were always put together and sent out together. The Acts and the Epistles of Paul were always bundled together. They had the general epistles bundled together. And then Revelation is its own oddity. And that's the one that in the old church, early church, everyone's blasting Revelation. We won't probably get into that. And this is why Martin Luther didn't think Revelation was the word of God. Okay. But yeah, so the unseals, when you look at the different unseals, some of them only have the Pauline epistles or just the Catholic epistles, you know, the general epistles, or just the Acts and things like that. So the ones I'm just giving you a small sample of the ones that do contain the gospels I'm giving you. And these are early ones. So I'm giving you samples of the early ones. And there's many more. Once you get into the 6th century, there's a larger amount of unseals that contain the Gospels. But I didn't want to include that, only because I didn't want to have you looking at a different second sheet.
So,
yes.
When people say early manuscripts, what date are they talking about?
The earlier, the better. So that's rule kind of changes, shifts as they find manuscripts, but at the moment, anything before 6th century.
Okay.
Yeah. So 5th is about the cutoff. Yeah. Yeah. So, now, the Diatessaron. Let me talk to you about that, because that's the manuscript we have is a 3rd century copy of the Diatessaron. The Diatessaron is a compilation of the 4 Gospels where they're harmonized. They're harmonized. So they're put side by side and compared, right? Like we've been doing through Luke 5, and Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and I always say, oh, the parallel passage in Mark, the parallel passage in Matthew. Well, that's what the Diatessaron has, all the parallel passages side by side like that. The author is Tatian, who lived, listen here, Tatian lived in the year 120 through 180. And he was an early Assyrian Christian apologist. and a student of Justin Martyr, who lived in the year 100 to 165. So he is second century. He wrote the Diatessaron. Diatessaron, dia means out of, and then four, right? So out of four. And so his harmony of the Gospels includes 9 through 20. Okay? So we're talking about a second century witness here. But because it's not an uncial or like a Greek manuscript that's copied directly, like the scholars today will classify it to be reckoned as a New Testament manuscript, his is more viewed like, put more towards like the lectionary column or just a writing of an author from that time period. Be that as it may, it's still an early witness to Mark 16, 9 to 20. Okay? And it predates Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. All right? So I've demonstrated a few times before how Codex Sinaiticus is riddled with errors and copying mistakes. It is peppered with later editors making corrections and adding their own footnotes all over the place. Okay? It is an example of a manuscript that was constantly being corrected for its faults. And there's, you can tell, I mean, everyone, you look at the manuscript, Sinaiticus, you can see the different handwriting all over the place. It's being corrected left and right, all the way up to the 10th century. People were like trying to fix it. Okay? But it was never copied out. It was never copied for transmission purposes until, like I mentioned last week, until the 1800s, when Westcott and Hort copied it. So 1,500 years lapsed before it was copied again. All right? So is that a reliable witness? I mean, ESV says that Sinaiticus is reliable, but it's riddled with errors and omissions. There's a lot of examples. You can look it up online of 1 Corinthians where there's some verses that are, you know, the flow is very similar. Paul's talking about something and the flow is very similar. And you can tell the copy is just totally skips verses and omits things or, you know, switches words around. It's very obvious. So Sinaiticus is really not a reliable Greek New Testament, a manuscript to base the theory that verses 9 through 20 are not the word of God. In fact, one of the promoters of Sinaiticus nevertheless acknowledged the errors. As Pastor David Brown wrote, quote, Tischendorf identified four different scribes who were involved writing the original text. However, as many as 10 scribes tampered with the codex throughout the centuries. Tischendorf said he counted 14,800 alterations and corrections in Sinaiticus. Alterations, more alterations, and more alterations were made, and in fact, most of them are believed to be made in the 6th and 7th centuries. On nearly every page of the manuscript, there are corrections and divisions done by 10 different people. Tischendorf goes on to say, quote, the New Testament is extremely unreliable. On many occasions, 10, 20, 30, 40 words are dropped. Letters, words, even whole sentences are frequently written over, twice over, or begun and immediately canceled. That gross blunder whereby a clause is omitted because it happens to end in the same word as a clause preceding occurs no less than 115 times in the New Testament. He's talking about Sinaiticus. End quote. This is Tischendorf. If you remember what I talked about Tischendorf, he's one of the pioneers of the critical text, critical Greek New Testament. Okay? It's not a rousing endorsement for Sinaiticus. Dr. Peter Malik of the University of Cambridge, he's a faculty of divinity, he's a part of the faculty of divinity there, wrote this, quote, since his modern discovery by Constantine Tischendorf, Codex Sinaiticus has been recognized as one of the most important witnesses to the text of the Greek Bible. Under the guise of calligraphic grandeur, however, this exquisite manuscript conceals complexities of all kinds. complicated distribution of scribal tasks, varying quality of scribal performance, a vast number of corrections made at various stages, to name but a few, end quote. So he's saying, basically, yeah, there's all these corrections happening all over the text. Yet the ESV study notes call this manuscript, quote, reliable. How about the only other Greek manuscript in existence that does not contain verses 9 through 20, Codex Vaticanus? Again, besides the errors that are found in this one, with its many corrections, there is a more glaring omission that causes Christians apologists to scramble to in defending this codex. You see, in Codex Vaticanus, there's this huge column left blank where 9 through 20 could go. It wasn't written in. It ends at verse 8. The scribe puts down conclusion of the Gospel of Mark. Column is left open, and then Luke starts. Okay? Remember what I said about vellum. You don't waste space in vellum because it's expensive, right? And I'm going to show you this in a second. So remember I said that this debate goes back to the early church. Even in early church, people were saying, hey, is verses 9 through 20 really the word of God? Because back then, there were texts that were missing it. And there were texts that had it. Okay? And so Christian apologists are saying, hey, yeah, we know of Greek manuscripts that don't have it. But we know that it's part of it. The churches were using it in their lectionaries, their liturgies, as if it were the word of God. Okay. A young lady named Lana Verz wrote this in the following article. Quote, Vaticanus' omissions does not prove that the longer ending did not exist in the early 4th century any more than does the omission in the RSV prove that the longer ending did not exist in the 20th century. The first edition that RSV omitted the longer ending. The omission of Vaticanus merely proves that the scribe of Vaticanus did not consider the longer ending as part of Scripture. The blank column in Vaticanus, however, proves that some sort of longer ending existed in the 4th century and that it was of such weight and importance that the scribe of Vaticanus left enough space for it, presumably to include it if the scribe changed his mind later as to its authenticity. End quote. Okay, so what I'm going to do, there's only one copy of each, because this would burn my ink. I'm going to pass you out the first page of the Gospel of Matthew from the Codex Vaticanus. And I want you to see it, okay? You can see it's three columns. So you just look at it, pass it down. Okay? And then I'm going to pass you the last verses of Matthew right before the Gospel of Mark. And I want you to see how, you know, if you can tell it's black and white, it's not color. Sorry, I don't have the ink. But you'll see where the Gospel of Matthew ends and then the Gospel of Mark begins. Okay? So that's that one. All right. So I'm giving a chance for it to rotate before I get to the next one. As you can tell from the bottom, it's from the Vatican, right? So, because that's where it's housed. All right, so the next one I'm going to send you is, you want to see the blank column. It's pretty pronounced. Everything else, even the one transition from Matthew to Mark, yeah, there's a half a column left blank, but the third column starts with Mark. Okay? So here's Mark 16, ending at verse 8 with the blank column. Okay? And when you compare them, you'll see that doesn't look normal. Did they see it already? Okay. And then I'm going to show you how the Gospel of Luke, which comes after Mark, begins. Yeah, you can look it up on the internet. It's all online. Every single manuscript that we know of right now are on the internet. You can look them up. So if you ever question the accuracy of what I'm saying, I won't be offended. Look it up. It's on the internet. Nothing is hidden. And then here's the last chapter of Luke and the first chapter of John. All right. So she goes on to say this, quote, the extant copy of the original Codex of Vaticanus. Okay, so Codex Vaticanus does not contain the end of Hebrews, the pastoral epistles, and Revelation. These missing portions were supplied by 15th century minuscule manuscript. The images above, which I just passed out, are provided for the reader to see that the blank column at the end of the book of Mark in Vaticanus could only mean that the scribe could not definitively say that the book ended at Mark 16:8. Thus, Vaticanus only counts as half a witness against a longer ending. Okay? That's it.
That makes sense.
So that goes, that brings the number down to 1.5. Just in case. Right. And remember I mentioned in a prior class, early in the church, people were already saying that the gospel was being corrupted. Remember that. The early church fathers saying, there are people out there corrupting the gospels. And it bears out. Remember, this is nothing new. It shouldn't surprise us and shouldn't frighten us. What was the first thing that Satan said to Eve in the garden? Has God say? Exactly. Satan has always attacked the word of God. So the New Testament, the Gospels themselves, you know for sure he's going to go after them. Okay? So, brethren, that's it. 1.5 witnesses against, in the Greek manuscripts, there's only 1.5 witnesses against 9 through 20. So the critical text of the Greek New Testament relies only on 1.5 witnesses as a basis for rejecting verses 9 through 20. But Alexandrinus contains it. Receptus, another 5th century uncio, contains it. And these were only like 50 years older than Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. Just because you hear 4th century, 5th century, don't think hundreds, 100 years. They're only 50 years apart. That's it. However, all 1,200, let me write that down, 1,200 Byzantine texts that we have of Mark contain it. 1,200. Remember what I said. Older does not mean better. Older does not mean more reliable. So the reality is that these modern notes in Bibles overstate their case and mislead their readership. And therefore, any and all who reject Mark 16, 9 through 20, you got to weigh it. You're going to reject verses 9 through 20 on the testimony of these two manuscripts. That's it. Are you willing to say to God, yeah, I don't think these are your words because of two questionable manuscripts?
1.5.
So we should ignore those study notes, to be honest with you. Okay? Listen to the scholars. Listen to the debates. But at the end of the day, it boils down to 1.5 witnesses against 9 through 20. Now, next week, I'll get into the other outside witnesses of the early church fathers, because James White and everyone else will say, oh, but we have Eusebius and Jerome who speak against verses 9 through 20. And I'm going to address that.
He's debating about that today, actually, or yesterday.
He did, but the guy he debated, he didn't know what he was doing either. All right, so our confessional standards are the Westminster Confession, the larger catechism, shorter catechism, have these verses. Okay? So next week we'll look at the early church fathers and figure out whether they either support verses 9 through 20 or don't. For now, can you pass these out one through one per family, and then just give me the rest for the others that are not here. This is a little booklet that goes more into detail about verses 9 through 20. If you want to read about it, it will help you out, reinforce the study. Any questions?
Okay. Oh.